to talk this morning about Palm Sunday from a donkey. Palm Sunday from a donkey. Today on the Christian calendar is Palm Sunday, a day that the church around the world celebrates what has come to be called Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. God's Messiah, the Son of David, confronts the powers of a wicked government in collusion with a tarnished religion, and their temporary victory will presage their eternal defeat. His entry into Jerusalem on a donkey was a combination of meekness and majesty. He enters Jerusalem in abject humility on a lowly animal, staging a prophetic, symbolic action to proclaim his messianic intentions. It's an acting parable. The crowds were engaging in unwise political enthusiasm. But Jesus came to Jerusalem not to lead a revolt against Rome, but as the King of Peace. They are thinking of the conquering victor, while Jesus intends it of the suffering servant. He will become David's Messiah, not on the battlefield, but on the cross. This narrative, this entry into Jerusalem, is recorded in all four gospel accounts. And in each of the synoptics and the Gospel of John, we hear from everyone except the one who shares the spotlight with Jesus. We know what the disciples did when Jesus gave them instructions. We know what the owner or owners of the animals willingly did when they released the donkeys. We know what the crowds did. They cut down olive and palm branches and carpeted the road with their clothing. We hear their loud shouts of Hosanna, which is the transliteration of the Aramaic, translated as a prayer, which literally means save now. We hear the sneers of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders saying to Jesus, make this crowd be quiet. And we hear Jesus answering them, if these should hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. We've heard from everybody but the donkey. The only one who shares the spotlight with Jesus is a donkey. The Bible makes reference to donkeys 74 times. In scripture, donkeys are always depicted as work animals or as riding animals. The Hebrew word translated donkey, as a matter of fact, literally means animal under the yoke. It is the image of an animal that has been brought under control and is governed by the will of its master. But a king on a donkey was almost a contradiction in terms. That Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem in the way that he did was a significant affirmation of his character and his purpose. Because in antiquity, a king would not normally ride into his capital on a donkey. He would ride in proudly on a war horse. Perhaps he would be marching riding in a chariot, going ahead of his soldiers, but certainly a king would never lower himself to ride in the city on a jackass. As a matter of fact, world leaders today travel much differently to demonstrate and showcase their power. The North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un rides in a bulletproof train stocked with wine and cheese. I know some of y'all like to get a ride with him. Vladimir Putin likes to ride shirtless on a war horse to show his power and might. Our American presidents have Air Force One, Marine One, an armored limousine so protective of him that it is nicknamed the Beast. And he is constantly surrounded with armed Secret Service whose job it is to take a bullet for the president. But Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, fairest of 10,000 angels, bright and the morning star, Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley, rides not in a beast, but on a beast. And when he comes into Jerusalem, they are shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes not in a bulletproof train, not shirtless on a horse, not on Air Force One or Marine One, but blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The people are calling out divine blessings on their expected deliverer, but they will be delivered by the suffering servant rather than by a conquering king. Jesus rides a donkey, which is the symbol of peace, rather than a war horse signifying the sword. Mark's gospel tells us that the animal had never been ridden. And Matthew's gospel indicates that it was still with its mother, whose presence would help to calm the colt, being ridden for the first time and then being ridden for the first time in the middle of a noisy demonstration. But we've heard the crowd shout, Hosanna. We've heard the chief priests and the elders tell Jesus, make these people be quiet. We've heard Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. They've taken off their clothes and thrown them and carpeted the streets. They've cut down olive and palm branches. The tumult, the noise is deafening. There are almost a million people in the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus at one point stopped them from making him king. But now he rides in as a king. But he doesn't ride on a chariot. He doesn't ride on a war horse. He does not ride on a steed. He rides on the foal of a donkey. He rides on the offspring of a donkey. And that donkey is underneath a load with a word for us this morning. That donkey is, first of all, a beast of burden. He carries things. He can hold weight. He's sturdy and gets under a load. No matter how much they put on him, he can bear it. No matter how thick the load, no matter how many articles are placed on him, no matter how long the road is, no matter how hot the temperature is, no matter how many people are around him, no matter what's going on with him, whatever they put on him, he can handle it. Whatever they burden him with, he can carry it. And what that donkey is saying to us this morning is that you got somebody who can carry your load. No matter what you put on him, Jesus can take it. No matter how many people put it on him, Jesus can handle it. Every last one of us in here can pray right now and he'll hear everybody. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. I wish I had some noise here. It is to carry, not something, not a few things, not I'm gonna keep this and I'm gonna give him that, but everything. I wish I had somebody who's been in trouble. I wish I had somebody whose back has been up against the wall. I wish I had somebody who made some decisions you wish you hadn't made, and you brought it to Jesus in prayer, and he made a way out of no way. Is there a witness here? He can carry it. I don't ascribe to this saying too much because I hear it too much, but it goes right here, and so I might as well say it. While you're trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. Somebody ought to help me testify. Have you ever gone to bed worried and woke up the next morning with a song in your heart? Because while you were sleeping, have I got a witness? All night, all day, God's got angels watching over you, moving stones away, opening doors that were closed. He will bear your burden. Some of y'all, Some of y'all here like me who was raised in the church, you can still hear those old deacons praying. He's a burden bearer and a heavy load shall. We used to laugh at that when we were growing up. But now that we've had some burden, I wish I had a witness. Now that we've been through some tears and some trials and some setbacks in our lives, he's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load sharer. Whatever you're going through, just give it to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I read this week and I almost forgot it, and the Holy Ghost just gave it back to me. You know what prayer is? Prayer is nothing more or nothing less than transferring a burden. I can't handle it. You take it. I can't do nothing with it. I'm giving it to you. And when you give it to him, don't take it back. Give it to him and shout like it's already done. He's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. Have I got a witness here? Just give it to him. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, somebody ought to help me preach here. He will. Yes, he will. Surely. I've seen lightning flash. I've heard thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus bidding me still fight on. He promised. Hey! He promised never to leave me. Never. Hallelujah. He's a burden bearer. And a heavy load sharer. Not only is that donkey a beast of burden, but that donkey is faithful though fearful. Faithful though fearful. Maybe somebody has told you this, or you've told this to somebody. You are as stubborn as a mule. This is not in my notes. It just came in my head, and I don't know how all this stuff gets in my head. But in some instances, it's not bad to be stubborn as a mule. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around about verse 58, when the scripture says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. That means stubborn. You can't make me doubt him, because I know too much about him. No Jehovah's Witness gonna knock on my door and make me change my mind about the 144,000. I know that 144,000 are gonna be in heaven. That's just the tribes of Israel. But John said, I saw another number that no man could number. I believe that, and I'm stubborn about that. I came here this morning to shout, because I'm stubborn about God answering my prayers. I'm stubborn about God making a way out of no way. If he doesn't do it today, I'm stubborn enough to pray again tomorrow. If he doesn't do it tomorrow, I'm stubborn enough to pray next week. Donkeys are stubborn, cantankerous, strong-willed, and they have a mind of their own. But apparently, when donkeys stop, it is because they are safety conscious, which means that they are good traveling partners. They may see something in the road that the rider don't see. Can I make that make sense? In the book of Numbers, there is a seer, a prophet named Balaam. And Balaam has been hired to prophesy against Israel. God has given him the ability to see vision and to see things before they happen, and he's using his gift for God's glory, but he's been paid to prophesy against Israel. He's on his way to prophesy against Israel, but while he's headed that way, God has sent an angel to kill Balaam. Stay with me. Balaam is on his donkey riding to disobey God. And the donkey sees the angel in the middle of the road that Balaam can't see. And when the donkey sees that angel, he goes in a field. Balaam strikes him and makes him get back on the road. Stay with me, I'm on my way somewhere. But the donkey still sees the angel and he refuses to go forward. Balaam strikes him again and the donkey just stands still. Balaam is kicking him and nudging him, but the donkey still sees that angel in the road. And the donkey lays down in the middle of the road. And Balaam hits him with his staff a third time. And it was at that third time that the Lord opened that jackass mouth. If God can speak through a jackass, we preachers ought not get too happy. You Sunday school teachers ought not pat yourself on the back, because God can take a jackass and put him in this pulpit. Matter of fact, he got one in here right now.
I'm trying to say is you ain't got to be the best for God to use you. Just do your best and God will open your mouth. You don't have to be the prettiest. You don't have to sing the best. You don't have to talk the best. You don't have to preach the best. If when you give the best of yourself, telling the world that the Savior is come. Be not dismayed if men don't believe you. He'll understand and say, well done. God opened that donkey's mouth, and a talking donkey said, Balaam, haven't I been faithful to you? Haven't I gone everywhere you told me to go? When you said gee, I geed. When you said haw, I hawed. And now you're striking me. What are you hitting me for? Why are you being so brutal towards me? And the Bible says God then opened Balaam's eye. And Balaam saw what that donkey saw. An angel with a sword getting ready to kill him. And Balaam got off that donkey, fell on his face and praised God and said these words: the donkey took the curse that was meant for me. One Friday on a hill called Calvary, they struck him three times. A nail in his hand, a nail in his hand, a nail in his feet, and he took a curse that was meant for me. I should have died on the cross, but Jesus died in my place. Hear me. The donkey in Numbers 22 is the Christ figure. He stopped Balaam from being killed. A donkey. A jackass. A talking donkey stopped Balaam from going all the way to destruction. But this last word, donkey is not only a beast of burden. He's not only faithful, though fearful. A donkey is a beast of rescue. Let me see if I can help you from the scripture. Samson, who was a Nazarite from his birth, made some serious errors in judgment, as do we all. But God equipped Samson with such might and power that he was about to be attacked by 1,000 Philistines. Samson just so happened to look to his left and he saw the jawbone of a jackass. And he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines. God can do anything, even with a donkey. Abigail, who was married to a man named Nabal. The name Nabal means fool. And Abigail is not only beautiful, but she's intelligent. Read it when you get home in 1 Samuel. The Bible says that Abigail and Nabal are married. But Nabal insults King David. And to insult the king means certain death. So Abigail gets her donkey. Put some grain, some figs, and some grapes on the donkey and bring the donkey to David. David takes that as an apology and spares Nabal's life. Nabal is still acting a fool. But Abigail says, I'm going to get rid of this fool because I have pleased the king with a donkey full of grain, grapes, and figs. She gets on her donkey, rides to King David, and becomes David's wife. God can do anything on a donkey. In Genesis chapter 22, God calls Abraham to take his only begotten son, his uniquely born son Isaac, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. You're going to help me close this, won't you? And they are headed up to Mount Moriah. There's some servants who are with them. There's a donkey who is with them. There's some wood and some fire. You're going to help me close this, won't you? The Bible says when they get to the mountain that God shows Abraham, which is Mount Moriah, he tells the servants, y'all stay right here. And he takes the donkey with Isaac and they head up to Mount Moriah. While they are walking up Mount Moriah, the donkey is carrying young Isaac. They are going up Mount Moriah. There's some wood that's on that donkey. There's a fire that's in Isaac's hand. There's a blade that's in Abraham's hand. But that donkey, silent like he was on Palm Sunday, is silent on the way up to Mount Moriah. They go a distance up Mount Moriah. Isaac doesn't say anything. Abraham doesn't say anything. The donkey is just doing what donkeys do, carrying that burden up to Mount Moriah. And then all of a sudden, Isaac is struck with something. And he says to his father Abraham, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. You're going to help me close this, won't you? And they go up on Mount Moriah. Isaac is taken down from the donkey, laid down on the sacrifice. The fire is lit. Abraham is about to come down with his knife to kill his only son. And when God sees Abraham's faith, an angel stops his hand and said, Abraham, do the lad no harm. Now I know that you fear God. Look behind you. There's a ram caught in the thicket. And Isaac is now taken off the altar. And there is a substitute sacrifice in Isaac's place. Just like that donkey carried Isaac up on Mount Moriah, that donkey is carrying another Isaac up on Mount Moriah. Not the son of Abraham, but the son of the living God. And he's going up on Mount Moriah, but no angel is going to stay God's hand. Because when Jesus goes up Mount Moriah, he dies for my sins. He dies for your sin. That's the reason why we get up on Sunday morning. That's the reason why we come in church and lift our hands, open our mouths and give God praise. I hope you're not here for somebody else. I hope you're not here for something else. I hope you came here because you serve a living Savior. You serve a righteous redeemer. You serve the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You don't mind if I thank him for the sacrifice. You don't mind if I tell him how glad I am that he died in my place. You don't mind if I shout about his goodness. You don't mind if I lift my hands over his grace. He's Adam's redeemer. He's Abel's vindicator. He's Abraham's sacrifice. You don't mind if I call the roll, do you? He's David's music. He's Solomon's wisdom. He's Jeremiah's balm. He's God's only son. He's Mary's baby boy. He's James and Jude's older brother. He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering servant. He's Luke's great physician. He's John's word made flesh. He's Acts coming of the Holy Ghost. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the blessed and the only potentate. He's the faithful and the true witness. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's the one that was living and was dead. And behold, he's alive forevermore. He's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load sharer. He's a friend in trouble. He's a bridge over troubled water. He's a mother when you're motherless. A father when you're fatherless. He's a friend in trouble. Y'all know him, don't you? If the Lord opened doors for you and you're not ashamed to testify. If the Lord answered your prayers and you don't care who's looking at you. If the Lord brought you out and you don't mind testifying, why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you hug somebody? Tell them you don't know like I know. You can't tell it. Let me tell it. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Has he been good to you? I said, has he been good to you? Has he made a way for you? Has he answered your prayers? Has he dried your tears? Say yes. 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 I know he's all right. Hosanna, Hosanna, ride on, King Jesus, ride on, conquering King, ride on, King Jesus. I want to go to heaven in the morning. If you miss me from singing down here, you can't find me nowhere. Come on up, come on up, come on up. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. On. I know he's on. Blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.